You know, today I'm going to put a bow on our series, okay? It's been that Keep It Hot series, and I'm going to talk about the last leg of that. We've talked about prayer, and we've talked about the Word of God. You know, God's love, I don't know about you, but it never ceases to amaze me. His love is truly amazing. It's amazing. We looked at a story in Scripture last week. It was the woman that was caught in sin. I believe it was Mary Magdalene. You can debate me on that, but that's just where I'm at with that. But she was brought before Jesus, and Jesus showed a picture of His heart for you and for me. And I don't have them out here this morning, but I had the blanket. Okay, you remember Nikki was up here. I'd encourage you to check out the video online if you didn't see that message. To me, that was a pretty important message. I need to take a quick drink. Thank you. But we saw how so many times in our lives we can be standing there just like those Pharisees were, can't we? We can forget about Jesus and the love that He extended to us. We can almost forget about the grace and the mercy, and we can be presented with the same situation that Jesus was. But the question that we were asked, that Holy Spirit asked us, is what are we going to stand with when those individuals were confronted with them? Are we going to stand with stone in hand, or are we going to stand with the blanket of love? Because the Bible tells us that we're not called to be stone throwers. In fact, our nature, okay, our sin nature, our flesh, it will default to stone throwing. You don't have to go very long to realize that that is a true statement. But you and I are not called to be stone throwers, are we? We're called to love. God showed me that picture several months ago, that blanket of love. And the love, it's the foundation for everything that this Keep It Hot series was really all about. Because we can pray and we can have the Word of God and we can have community, but if the love is not anchored, it's not the foundation that we're building upon, then it's really all for nothing, you see. Love is the foundation that we build on, and the foundation we build on, the chief cornerstone is who? It's Jesus, you see. See, Jesus covered her with the blanket of love. In Peter's first letter, he wrote in relation to, it really comes under the guise of living for God, if you look that up in 1 Peter 4, and he says this, above all, okay, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sin. All right? I think that's something that we all need to get a hold of. Love covers over a multitude of sin. Pastor, are you making, you saying that we should take sin lightly? No. But love covers over a multitude of sin. Okay? That's what I'm saying. I think in Peter's own life, he experienced the blanket of God's love, didn't he? Jesus wrapped His life with that blanket of love, and He was going to make sure that that message didn't just stop with Him, but that was the message that transformed His life, and that was the message that He was going to take to the world around Him, the blanket of love. Because I know all of us have probably experienced the stones. But not everybody has experienced the blanket of love, because I'm telling you, when you do finally truly experience the blanket of God's love, there's nothing else like it in this world. Amen. Our message must be reflective of this great love. And friends, it can't just be in word only, okay? It does have to be in action. Holy Spirit spoke clearly. Which cloak are we wearing, okay? And He gave me a picture right in the middle of the message. Sometimes it scares me, you know? It's just like I saw it. And what I saw was a person who is standing there with the cloak of the Pharisee. And then there was another one standing there with the blanket of God's love. And what he showed me is that we can choose which cloak to wear. Okay? God comes to us. He reveals himself to us. We ask Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. We repent of our sin. We experience the goodness of his grace. We experience the washing and the cleansing and all of that stuff. And we're renewed. We are born again by the Spirit of God. God's blanket of love wraps around us. And we embrace that. But over time, we can get calloused and hard, and stones can be thrown at us, and pretty soon we can take that blanket of love off and we can put on the cloak of the Pharisee. And it breaks my heart that too often in church life in general, we have too many people that are wearing the cloak of the Pharisee and not wearing the blanket of God's love. So that's the challenge that Holy Spirit put to us. Which are you wearing? Because that is the foundation of keeping the flame of God hot in your life. I think one of the things that is so important is that you've heard me say this many times, and you'll probably hear me say it many times more. Never forget where you came from. Don't ever forget or lose sight of the fact that you were a sinner that needed to be saved. That you were needing of a cleansing. Your soul was dead, in essence. Your spirit was dead. And when Jesus came to you, he brought you true life. And when Jesus comes into your heart, that's when we truly come alive for the first time. It's the place when we remember this, that we crucify the flesh. We lay that thing down. And we begin to let Holy Spirit take control of our lives. Does that mean that I'm just going to walk around all weird and kooky? No, I'm not talking about that, okay? We've probably experienced some of those people. I'll tell you a quick little story. This is a little bunny trail. It was kind of funny. But this guy, he was like super spiritual guy, you know. And I don't know if you've ever run into those or not, but I have. And they're weird, all right? They're just plain weird. But this guy, I'm in the grocery store. He's like one of those, you know, you're just like, oh, no. Hey, how's it going? Yeah, good, yeah. And you're just trying to get away, and you can't get away. But in the conversation you would have with this guy, he would be sitting there and talking to you. It'd be like me and Larry talking, and, hey, how you doing, Larry?
I'm doing awesome.
Oh, great, that's wonderful. Okay, all right, I'll tell him. Hey, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, but that's a little kooky. I suppose it can happen. But every time I talk to him, it's like, okay, I'll tell him. And then here it comes, you know. And, you know, there's, I guess, better ways. All right, that was a bunny trail. Greg, you'll have to edit that one. All right. Love covers over a multitude of sin. Don't ever forget where you come from, friends. Don't ever forget your need for Jesus. Don't ever forget about His grace. We don't rerun the reel of our past to glorify our past. We rerun the reel to keep us in a place of humility and to understand how desperately we needed God's grace. I know some people that will try to hold you under your old banner, but that's not what we're called to do. We're called to call those people who they truly are, sons and daughters of the living God. And it takes men and women of understanding, is what the Scriptures say, to pull and draw those things out of people. That's what you and I need to be about. But never forget. For several weeks, we discussed the importance of keeping the flame burning relative to our relationship with Jesus. We talked about prayer, okay? And Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." We recognized that the church was always engaged in prayer, fervent prayer, and fasting. And I know everybody loves to fast, right? I mean, we got to do it for 12 hours before we go in for some blood work, and we think that we're really making a sacrifice, right? Prayer and fasting. We recognize that the church was always engaged in this. And prayer is where we grow and we experience God more and more each and every day. We looked at the second lifeline, and that was the Word of God, the importance of the Word of God. We know that we need to read it. We need to consume it. We need to believe it. And we need to act upon God's Word. We know that His Word, it's alive and it's active and it's truth. We know that it's a lamp, right, unto our feet and a light unto our path. And when I live according to it, my life is blessed. We looked at Psalm 1, and when we're planted near the rivers of water, that's what happens. When we plant ourselves in the Word of God, in the presence of God, rivers of living water come flowing in us and through us to the world around me. I'm renewed by it. I'm trained by it. I'm sanctified by it. I am healed by it. And I am delivered by it. God's holy word. Amen? The last lifeline that I want to talk to you about is the importance of community. Let's say that together. Community. All right? In Acts 2:42. It says this. I'm reading from the NIV. I know Bruce is going to scold me, but yeah, I'm sorry, brother. Yeah. It says this, and this is really where we get our 3 points from, okay? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the Word of God, and to fellowship and breaking of bread. That's community, and to prayer. These are the big three, okay? Prayer, Word of God, and fellowship, breaking bread together, okay? Let's pray. Father, help us, Lord, to understand this important part of being a believer, being part of the community, being part of the fellowship of believers. Father, I pray that you'll just guide my heart as I've prepared this. I just lay it at your feet, and I ask you to breathe life into it. I pray, Father, that it would be your words that are heard and not my own. I pray that you will anoint them, Father God, in Jesus' name. And we all said together, amen. Amen. In Psalm 68:6, it says this, that God sets us in families. Okay? It doesn't matter that if you were an orphan. It doesn't matter if you had one parent, both parents, no parents. God sets us in families. He didn't call us out of our former way of doing things to leave us alone and to make us lone soldiers. God sets us in families. The community of believers, and I underline this and start it because it's a word that we have to understand. The community of believers should, okay, all right, it should be a place of great strengthening and discovery in the things of God, all right? That's what the body of Christ, that's us here, and it's not just us here, it's anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, it's anyone who has asked Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, they've repented of their sin, they're born again, they're trying to live for Him, it doesn't matter if you're Assemblies of God or Baptist or whatever. Bottom line is, you're not going to stand before Jesus one day and hold up your AG membership card, it's going to be, what did you do with my son Jesus? Are you covered with the blood of Jesus or not? That's really as simple as it gets, friends. But the body of Christ should be a place where we gather and we are strengthened and we discover the things of God. Amen? The fellowship of believers, it's where we're encouraged. It's where we're built up. It's where we're strengthened. It's where I discover and become who God has called me to be as a man of God or a woman of God. This is a place that those things need to happen. It's where I experience value. Some people I know, you experience no value when you were out there in the world. You were just kicked to the curb. I know people that were completely orphaned. They had nowhere to go. They were just kind of left. But yet you have value and you have worth in Jesus. And the family of God is a place that we should experience that same value, that same worth among a broader family. In fact, you probably found, I found it kind of weird when I thought it was cool, but I thought it was a little weird. Everybody's calling, hey brother, hey sister, hey brother, hey sister. I'm just like, wow, what's going on here? Rodney's my brother? Yeah, he's my bro. Isn't that cool? I love it. Nikki's my sister. Marcy's my sister. It's awesome. Because there is, yes, I understand blood. But I'm going to tell you something. Spirit trumps blood. Some of you were brought up in situations that weren't so good. Thank God, spirit trumps blood. Amen? You could have the worst upbringing ever. You could be orphaned, but God sets you in a family full of the Holy Spirit and other believers, and you have a whole new family of brothers and sisters. I think that's pretty cool. It's where we should often experience a real family, and many do for the first time. They never really have experienced the love and the joy and the peace that many of us possess. But for many, it's where we learn how to be sacrificial. What do you mean, tithe? Oh my gosh, I can't make it on 120% of my income, and you're telling me I can have more with 90? Yeah. It's a spiritual thing. But this is where you learn about that. And then we actually enter into the area of giving. Giving to missions, giving to different causes, to the care ministry. Giving starts after the tithe. That's a whole teaching that we need to do. But it's where we learn to be sacrificial. It's where we learn to be caring, okay? It is where I am healed and I become one who helps and heals others, you see? I think one of the greatest things that is an awesome part of being in the body of believers is that when you are healed of something, and I'm not talking just in your body, because I know we prayed for physical healing. Sometimes it's emotional healing. A few weeks ago, we had people that were battling with depression, and they were at different phases of the game, right? Some were still in the journey. Some had just been completely set free. And I asked her again today, how you doing? Praise the Lord. God's still on the throne. Amen. Amen. But see, now there's a change in that testimony, right? And now you can actually take that testimony and you can export it and say, you know what? Even in the journey, God was with me. But thank God, He surprised me this one morning and He touched me and He healed me and He set me free of depression. You don't think that will encourage somebody? That will encourage somebody. I will tell you, one of the places that you will have the greatest ministry is through your scars. Okay? Sometimes we don't like our scars. Sometimes we got to be vulnerable when we talk about our scars. Many of you know Nikki's testimony, and she's been vulnerable. She's been real. But she's had powerful testimony to see different people get set free because she's willing to talk about her scars, you see. We're not bound by our scars. Scars are not a symbol of defeat or failure. You know what scars are? They're a sign of victory in Jesus. We need to remember that. Don't be ashamed of your scars. Use them as a place to kick the devil in the teeth and just say, you know, enough is enough. Yes, this is a reminder of where I was at, but thanks be to God, I'm here today to tell you about Jesus and what He did for me in my life. Amen. That's part of being in the family of God. And you may be here today, and you may still need healing, okay? However, when you do, you will find your greatest ministry in the scars. And don't even wait till then, because I'm going to tell you, it's just like that day. And I love the picture of what happened when Mary stood up here and Kelly stood up here. One still in the journey, one completely healed that morning, but they both were in the journey together, okay? And it doesn't matter if you haven't seen the manifestation of that thing happen yet. Don't let anybody harass you with that, and don't let the devil harass you with that. You stand on the promises of God. We pray and we believe for healing, okay? Because that's what the Scriptures have called us to do. We're called to bring people and to anoint them with oil and lay hands on them and let our children come and pray and others come and pray and believe God. And I'm going to tell you what, sometimes that thing happens in an instant, sometimes it takes a lifetime. But we're not called to doubt who God is. God doesn't change His goodness just because of that, does He? He's good all the time. He's good in the journey, and He's good at the completion of the journey and in the journey to come. That's the God that we serve. He never changes. The family of God, the community, it's where I discover my true identity. I am a son of God. I am a child of the Most High God. I am a daughter of God, wherever it applies. You are His, and He is yours. Hallelujah. You are not abandoned. You are not kicked to the curb. You are part of the family of God. You are an important, valuable piece of the body of Christ. The family of God is where I learn how to pray. It's often where I learn how to become an intercessor. That's why I want to encourage you. Sometimes you got to reprioritize a few things in your life. I want to encourage you to come out for prayer. In January, we're going to have 3 weeks of praying and fasting. Now, I'm not saying everybody in here has to do a 21-day fast, okay? I think some of us could use it, right? But the reality is, do what you can. If you can give up a meal here or give up a meal there, but by all means, pray. Seek God. Come together when the church is open for prayer and pray and seek God. We're going to have three extra prayer and worship nights on those Sunday evenings. And I want to encourage you to come out. We're going to have worship. We're going to have prayer. We'll probably have some word. You know, we'll get together and we'll bless one another and we'll pray and we'll seek God. Okay? Let's come out. Be a part of that thing. Don't just instantly in your mind just say, that's just something extra. Maybe that's something extra that needs to be there and something else needs to go. Yeah. Just saying. But the community is where I discover my true identity with others as they discover their identity. And we talked about that just a moment ago. It's where I learn how to pray. It's where I rub shoulders with some of the people that, man, they've been doing it for years and years and years. I don't know about you, but man, when I get around Rosie and she starts praying in the Holy Spirit, I'm just like, woo! Yeah. Man, I tell you what, it's like electricity goes through you because I know she's a praying woman. I got to tell a story on you, Rosie. Sometimes the Lord will wake her up in the middle of the night, 2 a.m, and she looked at me. I just said to the Lord, "Now." But the good thing is she's faithful to do it. Probably not 100% of the time, but the reality is the more we do it, the easier it gets. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Man, it's wonderful. Sometimes you don't have the words to pray. Let the Holy Spirit pray through you. It's a wonderful gift, and God wants you to have that. I learned about the beautiful gifts in the body of Christ. I learned about how they operate, and it's a pattern that has been established. And again, I read this verse to you one more time. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple. Actually, this is Acts 2:46. This is what they've done. This is the pattern that was established. They regularly got together. Acts 2:46 says this. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Every day. That's quite often, isn't it? They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together. Oh, we like that. Hallelujah. We love a good feed, don't we? We can really put on a feed bag. We can. And we call them, what we call them, potlucks. And what are we, is this the pot? And we're, potluck. I don't know. I'm starting to think about that meatloaf again and mashed potatoes. Some good hot taters with butter drooling. Oh, yeah, come on. Break bread. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together. And here's the thing that was just so awesome, and this is reflective of what was taking place downstairs last night. It says, with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Say, all the people. All the people. You mean all the people? Those two. Those two. Sometimes it's a challenge, you see. But see, it's not dependent upon you and I. It's dependent upon Jesus. Here's the key, though. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Yes.
If we're not seeing people get saved and transformed for the glory of God, why are we doing this? That's really what it's all about. The family of God is a place where we learn, where we embrace one another. I mean, could you imagine if we all looked like Rick? Or we all looked like Larry? Or Randy? Man, wouldn't you all love to have Randy's hair? I mean, come on. Some of you are saying, yeah, I'd like to have some. But it's a diverse group. We all have different giftings. We all don't look alike. We come from different backgrounds. We all add a little zest to the pot. I think it's great. A little zing, yeah. It's wonderful when we can learn to look past one another's flaws and actually appreciate the God and Jesus that's inside of those people and who they are. Well, I'm just an introvert. It's not about whether you're introverted or extroverted, okay? It doesn't matter about that. It's who Jesus is inside of you, okay? And He can help you overcome that. Well, you might, but we talked about this quite a bit in our Sunday school class this morning, but you might naturally be an introvert. But it doesn't mean that God can't overcome that, because that is anchored in your life experiences up to that point. You might be introverted, but I'm going to tell you right now, God has the ability to change that thing, and He can use it for His glory. He can make it, because a lot of that stuff is just rooted in fear. It's rooted in trust issues. It's rooted in a lot of things. And that's not all of it, okay? Sometimes some people just like to be alone, okay? I'm probably not one of them. I always want people around. I do. It's crazy. You got to turn the TV on. You got to turn the radio, all this stuff. You always got to have stuff going, you know? But the reality is God can even overcome those types of things, whether you're introverted or extroverted, whether you have the personality of a rattlesnake or a porcupine. You ever try to hug a porcupine? It doesn't work too well. But we got some porcupines around once in a while, you know. But Jesus can help that. Okay, He can take a porcupine and turn it into a mink. Isn't a mink really soft? Oh yeah. Praise the Lord. You guys still with me? All right. Acts 20, verse 7, it says this. Okay, now I'm going to start meddling. Are you ready? Okay. On the first day of the week, when the disciples came together, let that sink in. It was a pattern that was established. They met on the first day of the week. They came together. They did have lives that they had to live, but they made coming together a priority in their week. And I understand things do come up, but make it a priority. In 1 Corinthians 16:2, again, it says there, on the first day of every week. That was the first day of every week. They came together. They gathered together. Why? Because they knew that they couldn't make it alone. They needed one another. We need each other. Everybody is important. Everybody's important. Now, there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians, that chapter 12, and it talks about the different parts of the body. And I've got a video that I want to show you about how the body operates when you have one part kind of doing its own thing. Thank you.
sorry, bro.
Really?
I thought you were someone else. Gosh, come on!
What's wrong with you?
Listen, I'm really, let me help. You know what? I'm sorry. There's something wrong with me.
Parts, but the many parts make up one whole body, so it is with the body of Christ. Since we're the body of Christ, what would it look like if we did our own thing?
Okay. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you want to turn there. I'm going to read this portion of Scripture, verses 12 through 27. It says this: just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division. Everybody say, no division. No division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you right now, we need to understand that. Anybody ever get one of those little hangnail things, or, you know? That's painful. Or in your foot, or if you get a splinter. I mean, those things all of a sudden affect your entire body. Okay? When one part suffers, the rest suffers with it, you see? That's really how we need to treat one another. When one part rejoices, we need to get over ourselves and our own little trail of woe and begin to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. And when you see somebody that's being swallowed up by the concerns and the cares of life, and you have the ability to help them in that, call the pastor, right? No. Yes, somebody said yes. Help them. Reach out to them. Love them right where they're at. If you have the means to help them, help them. Share your story. Minister to them, you see. You can minister to them in ways that I cannot. If you've got relationship with those people, step into that and bring Jesus into it, you see. For by all means, we're willing to help in any way we can. But you and me, we're all the body of Christ. Not everybody's going to get up here on Sunday morning and preach, right? Okay? Not everybody's gifted that same way, okay? It's okay. But doesn't mean you're less important. Doesn't mean you're less important if you're not up here singing. Doesn't mean you're less important if you're not doing the media like Justin does every week.
Good job, Justin.
Amen. Every part of the body is important. We're having an appreciation dinner tonight for our volunteers. And I'm going to tell you what, we've got a really good group of volunteers here. We have people that are ministering to children on Sunday morning. When's the last time you thanked them? When's the last time you just went up to Nikki and just said, man, I really appreciate what you're doing on Wednesday night? When's the last time you went to Becky and just said, Becky, I know you don't get to be in the service very often, and we're thankful that you, when you are in here, but thank you for your service to our little ones. Thank Catherine for loving on those babies, you know? Thank, you know, Marilyn and Rick and the different ones as you come in through the door. They faithfully there every week, and they got that bulletin shoving it in your hand and making sure that you have no excuse to not read the announcements. And they'll even sing to you. If you really want to get daring, she does a great Rosanna Dana impression. But tonight, we're going to just say thank you. We just want to have a dinner for them, you know, and that's really what we're doing. And those of you who are not involved in anything, man, I want to encourage you to get involved. Thank our ushers. Thank Bruce week after week. There's people. Thank Linda week after week. Linda comes in here. You know what Linda does every week? She cleans those wonderful bathrooms every week. And she doesn't do it to get honor by men, but she faithfully does it because she's part of the body of Christ, you see? Everybody has things that are important. Thank Bill. Thank Rosie. Thank him for being willing to try to do something for our prime timers, you know? Thank our small group leaders. Thank Dan and thank Cheryl for opening up their homes. And thank Wayne and thank Michelle for opening up their home when they do. Thank Sally when you think of it. You know, when she does those pots outside, and I always wanted to say we had the best pot harvest of anybody, but it was flowers in the pots, okay? But thanks, Sally, for those beautiful-looking pots that we had this year, you know? There's so many. And then, you know, thank Marcy for the beautiful painting. She did the bulk of the painting that was done out here. And even Janice, with her asthmatic condition and stuff like that, she would come out, and sometimes I'd see her with a little mask on, and she was even out there trying to help, just to do something, being part of the body of Christ. And I know I'm not remembering everybody. Thank Ralph. Ralph will take on little projects for me. Hey, we need a fire extinguisher in the church van, or we need to take the church van down and get it inspected, and he will do that. Thank Donnie. When the toilets don't work, he faithfully comes out and helps us. Amen. Yeah. You see, there's so many. There's so many, and I know I'm not, you know, many of you are teachers in here, and you do things, and I don't have time to mention everybody. But be thankful for one another. Bless one another. That's part of being in the community of God. Thank Greg for our website and all the things that he faithfully does and for many of the ideas that he's come up with, and he and Kelly working hard to beautify the space here. Thank him for those things, you see. Thank your teachers that are faithfully, you know, Larry and Kathy, and I know you weren't even feeling that great this morning, but man, you got up and you came and you brought the Word of God. They're doing a great teaching on the book of Revelation, man. If you don't know about that stuff, get in there. Thank them. Thank Randy for keeping our children's ministry going. Hallelujah. Encourage these little ones, these young ones that are faithfully stepping out and praying for people, not just inside the church, but outside the church. Thank the Justins. Take time to thank Tom. Every week, he provides a security for us. It's a beautiful thing. You know, he's faithful. Thank him. I want to encourage you to just be thankful for one another. So many times we look at the flaws that people have. And I know, trust me, I've had the stones thrown my way. I understand that. But let's not be a body of believers like that. Let's put the blanket of love on. Because I'm going to tell you, here's the other truth about the blanket of love. Not only does it cover your sin, but it provides a shield for the stones when they come. Because I will tell you that the stones will come. But Jesus said this, right? He said, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. There's a key word there, must. It needs to be a part of who we are. If it's not there, then we need to do some business with Jesus on our hearts. By this love that I'm talking about, Jesus is saying, all men, all women, mankind will know that you are my disciples because you have love one for another. All we need is love. Ba-ba-da-da-da. Oh, you guys are just like, oh my gosh, did he just sing a Beatles song in church? We need the agape love of God. It needs to be the distinguishing mark of every believer. It's self-giving, it's sacrificial, and it seeks the good of another first. So, it's 12, but I got one more thing. Now, I've got these things up here, okay? Many of you know my story. I used to be really big. You say, well, you are a big man. No, I was like big. I was like two of what I am right now, okay? Weighed almost 500 pounds. And I was depressed. I was still extroverted. I was still, you know, tried to, you know, do the things. I loved worship. I did all those things. I still preached. I still was a leader in the business that I was at. But I was miserable on the inside. And in May 2015, when I lost my job, that was kind of the beginning of the new season of my life and Kelly's life and all of that. I ended up getting a surgery, and it was it's called a duodenal switch, and they did some rearranging, okay? They made some things different on the inside. I even had Christians tell me that, you know, that's not God. I'm just like, my goodness, it's a tool. It's just a tool, and I'm going to let the Lord use it in my life so that I can get my life back. But you wouldn't believe. I even got stones thrown at me through that process. It was like, ouch. But I went through it, and I got on my knees, and I said, Jesus, on the other side of this, because, I mean, the bottom line is it was going to be a long recovery. We were probably going to lose everything, and we did, all right? But the reality is I got my life back. One of the byproducts of my surgery, okay, is that I have to take a plethora of vitamins. Now, some of you guys just go out and do this because you enjoy it. I don't, all right? But I take all kinds of stuff. Now, I don't always take women's one a day. I'd usually have a man's one up here. But somebody's got to take them, so I take them, all right? I don't like to let them go to waste. I take a calcium. I take an ADEK multi, I take my thiamine, I take the vitamin D up here, I take a B vitamin, a complex biotin, because I'm worried about my fingers and nails and hair, you know, so you need to take biotin for that. But I will tell you, I could go there in the morning and open up the cupboard, and I can just look at them. You know where I'm going with this. And even within the context of just this, this isn't all of them, okay? But there's a couple in here that they told me that I have to have no matter what. In fact, if I go without this one long enough in my life and I don't get it from any other source, it could be very detrimental to my health. Yeah. It's B1, thiamine. That's the one they told me. Don't miss that one. Here's the thing, gang. We want to keep the flame of God hot in our life. But there comes a point in time that you got to become a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. You have to actually take what's inside the bottle and digest it into your system in order for it to be a benefit to you. If you don't have prayer in your life and you're not willing to pray, it's not going to work. If you know that you have the Word of God in your life, let's just say, we'll just use three of these as an example, okay? If you don't pray, if you don't take the Word of God, and if you don't have community, a fellowship with other believers, you're going to get out of whack. Your system's going to get all funky, okay? We need prayer. We need the Word of God. And we need each other. You want to keep the flame of God hot in your life? Keep these three burning. Do whatever it takes to make them a priority in your life. Whether you're young here, whether you're older here, don't check out. Everybody has a place. Everybody has a part. And if you feel like you've been sidestepped somewhere, you need to come and talk to me, okay? If you feel that way, I want to talk to you, and I want to make things right in that, okay? Because that's not what we're about here. The only agenda that we have here in this church is Jesus. This is not a Craig agenda. This is not a Kelly or family or a group of elders agenda. The agenda in this church is Jesus Christ and Him alone. It's the glory of God. It's the pursuit of His presence, you see. We're not going to lift people up. We're not going to have a hierarchy in the church in which we think that we're better than other people. And I'm going to tell you, when I see the Pharisee cloak on somebody, I'm going to address it. And some people don't like it when it gets addressed, but I'm going to do it in love, and I'm going to do it in a way that will promote the blanket of love in Jesus. But unfortunately, friends, there's still those, even when you take the blanket of love to them and you expose the Pharisee cloak that they're wearing, they don't want to take it off because it's all they know. It's a scary place to be. Rather stay in the dysfunction than live in the freedom of God's love. How tragic. Let's not be that church. Amen? Let's stand to our feet this morning. Praise the Lord. Can we just give God praise for a moment this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, I know we're coming into cold and flu season, but do me the honor of just coming across the aisles and just extending your hand to somebody, to the person next to you, to the right and to the left. We're the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. Amen. Now I want you to look around. Come on up, Bruce. There he is. Awesome. Thank you. You got nice warm hands. Now look around. These are your brothers and sisters. Let's make sure we've got one another's back.
Amen.
Let's not let the devil have his way in their lives.
That's right.
Let's pray. You know what? I know everybody out there is perfect, right? We're not perfect. We got flaws, and we don't need to go around exposing everybody's flaws. Let's walk with the blanket of God's love, and let's keep the fire burning. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Jesus, we are your family. We are your body, Lord, and we just want to say thank you today for your love, for your mercy. God, whether we're young, we have newborn baby in here, Lord God. We have children. We have teens and young adults, Lord. We have seniors and those of us, God, who are middle-aged, Lord. And God, we just thank you that we have the opportunity to be a part of this family. And God, it's our desire that we would fellowship, that we would meet together with glad and sincere hearts, that we would praise you, God, for what you have done in and amongst us, Lord Jesus. We commit today to stand with our brothers, to stand with our sisters. We are the body of Christ. And we pray, Father God, that you will add to our number daily those who are being saved. For truly, God, you are coming again. And may we be busy about encountering you, about equipping others, Lord God, and engaging this world, Lord Jesus. Father, we love you and we thank you. And we thank you for our brothers and sisters that are to our right and to our left. And we just ask your blessing upon them, Lord God. And we just thank you, God, for the mercy and the grace that we live in each and every day. The legacy of your love, the love of the cross, the blood that flowed on Calvary still flows today. And I pray that today at Canton Assembly, Lord God, that it would be a river, Father God, that would flow. And not just, Father God, to us in here, Lord God, but I pray that that river would flow outside the four walls of this church to a city that's in desperate need of Jesus. And I pray, God, for the other churches that are preaching Jesus. I pray that you would anoint their pulpits, Father God, that you would set them ablaze, put them on fire, Lord God. Open, Father God, wide the gates to this city, that Canton, Illinois would once again, Father God, rejoice, 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 rejoice. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you and we thank you and we praise you in the mighty strong name of Jesus. And we all said together, amen, amen. God bless you all.